All we want our children to do is be happy. But should children jump through hoops at all costs and do all of that to keep them that way? Or are the parents who do so hurting their children in the long run? Parenting expert Amy McCready says it seems everywhere when looks there are preschoolers who only behave in the grocery store for a treat, or narcissistic teenagers posting selfies across all forms of social media, and adult children living off their parents. In her newest book, The Me, Me, Me Epidemic, McCready derails what she calls the entitlement train and shows how parents can raise their children to become confident and resilient and successful. McCready is a self-described recovering yeller and the founder of Positive Parenting Solutions. Again, the new book is The Me, Me, Me Epidemic, and we welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe, for having me.
Very nice to welcome you to the program. What got you thinking about this particular issue as an epidemic?
Well, you know, I've been working with parents of toddlers to teens for years, and over again, I would be hearing these stories about, as you said, kids who can't get through the grocery store without a treat, who are not grateful no matter how much we give. You know, kids want more, more, more. And it was feeling very much like an epidemic. And of course, no parent intends to raise an entitled child. You know, it kind of happens slowly from a place of love, but I think parents are at the point where they're saying, enough is enough. We need to turn this around, this me, me, me epidemic around. And my hope with this book was to give parents concrete tools to do just that.
How did we get to this point, or is it always has it always been ingrained in us a certain amount of me, me, me?
Well, there are some societal issues that have actually played a role in this. You know, the fact that, you know, we don't need for our kids to contribute for the family to survive anymore like we did years ago on the farm. Technology has made the pace of life just so much faster. You know, we expect instant gratification all the time as adults, and so do our kids. You know, social media, as you said, you know, posting selfies constantly, reality TV emphasizing the it's all about me. Those are things that are going on in society that we can't really do a whole lot about. But then there's the whole parenting piece, or over-parenting, I should say. We do this from a place of love because we want the best for our kids, but when we overindulge them, we do things for them they're perfectly capable of doing for themselves, we give in and give them that treat, the reward, the bribe for, you know, frankly, unextraordinary behavior. We overpraise them, we jump through hoops to make sure they're happy and not bored and don't experience disappointment. We create the expectation, the sense of entitlement that, you know, our kids deserve that. So that's what we hope to kind of turn around.
I'm curious. I thought about this while I was reading the book. I remember growing up in the 70s, I remember there being watching Saturday morning cartoons, and there was I'm Just a Bill and Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function and all that stuff. There was also a little song that would come on quite regularly, which was about the most important person in the world is you. And I remember this for two reasons. One, because it was a little catchy, but also because my mother, I remember my mother turning to me when that was on and she said, just remember, that's not always true. And it brings up two points. One is that, so we have been on this train, if you will, for a little while of entitling children of that the most important person in the world is you, but also that it shows the importance of the parent kind of stepping in and saying, okay, but there's other important things as well.
Absolutely, and it's so funny you mentioned that, because I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s, and there was actually a movement that started at that point in time, you know, sort of the self-esteem movement. It started with a book in 1969 by Dr. Nathaniel Brandon called The Psychology of Self-Esteem, and it asserted that the most important aspect of a person is their sense of self, and it was that book that started the whole overpraising and you're the best and it's all about you and you are the most important person. So that movement really created this sense of it is all about me. And, you know, you're lucky that you had a mom that said, listen, you know, it isn't all about you. But I think over the course of the last couple of generations in parenting, that concept has been reinforced. And then you combine that with reality TV and the selfies constantly, and kids do believe that it's all about them.
Okay, so the word that I took out of the title of the book and what you describe in the book, my big takeaway was the word grateful, of how you raise a child that is grateful, to appreciate what they have and to appreciate the parenting that they are receiving and to appreciate who they are and who other people are. So how do we do that?
And that's a big job, isn't it? Because we, you know, in this world of instant gratification and, you know, affluence for a lot of folks, and even families who don't consider themselves affluent compared to worldwide standards, they really are, you know, kids have pretty much, you know, all that they need. They're not doing without. It's often hard to teach gratitude. So there are a number of things, a number of tools in the book to help parents with that. And one of the first things that parents can do is go without. So maybe pick 1 week a month and you say, as a family, we're going to go without this thing. Maybe it's air conditioning. Maybe it's fast food. Like, pick one thing that maybe you take for granted and do without that thing and realize how different your life would be without it. Little things like that, establishing gratitude rituals, getting your kids involved in serving others. The more that we can get our kids involved in serving, it shifts that perception that, no, it isn't all about them. You know, you're not on this earth for your own enjoyment. You're on this earth to serve others. And I think that really shifts their perspective. And you can do that when your kids are young, but if you haven't been doing it all along, it's not too late. Even with your teenagers, you can start doing that and start to shift their perception of themselves within, we call that uncentering their universe, you know, shifting their perception of themselves within the bigger scope of the world.
You talk in the book about that they're simply not hardwired to understand disappointment. And I find that really interesting because we all have disappointment. Certainly, I think most people my age who are parents, I'm not a parent, but it seems to me we have all lived through a certain amount of disappointment. So where did we lose the disappointment gene?
Well, if kids are never exposed to disappointment, they don't learn the resiliency to work through it. So as you said, growing up, there were ups and downs, and, you know, of course you experienced disappointment.
Right.
However, if parents are constantly stepping in to make everything better, whether it's, you know, the candy bar in the checkout line, or intervening with the teacher to make sure that they get a good grade on the test, or, you know, whatever it is, jumping through whatever hoops to make sure the child is not unhappy or disappointed, the child never learns what it's like to experience disappointment. And more importantly, they don't learn the resiliency skills. So when they're out in the real world, you know, they're in college or their first job or whatever it happens to be, they have a skill deficit because they can't handle the ups and downs of regular life. And we hear all the time from the academic community that, you know, parents are calling professors still trying to negotiate grades and, you know, getting involved in these things so their kids don't have to experience hardship or difficulty. While it's easier and more comfortable in the short term, it is absolutely doing our kids a disservice in the long term. You know, that the ups and downs, the difficult times are what build our character and prepare us for life in the real difficult world.
I just remember in growing up, again, I'm in my late 40s, so I remember this time of people saying, oh, you know, it would be great if parents, sort of a woeful statement as to parents who did not have an active role in their children's lives and parents who did not take enough initiative and getting in there and fighting for their kids in school and parent and teachers saying, you know, if only the parents showed up and understand. And I realize there's still obviously a degree to that, but also it seems like in your book and others of pointing out of what the perils are when you do that too much. So basically we're getting down to a balancing act. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do want parents to be involved in their kids' lives. And the good news is that, you know, today's parents are more involved in their kids' lives. However, to your point, it is a balancing act. So you want to be a supporting player in your child's life, supporting them, encouraging them, training them so they have the skills to be successful, but then allowing them to do the execution. And so that can be, you know, going to a teacher and challenging a grade. So you can do the training and how to have that conversation in a respectful manner, but then it's your child's responsibility to talk to the teacher or the coach and have that conversation. But if we're getting in the middle, if we're doing the execution, they never learn the skills that they need for, you know, to be successful in the long term. So I just like to think of us as that supporting player, but not getting in the mix of, you know, of every little thing.
You mentioned selfies early on, and it brings up the larger issue of technology in our world. What role do you think this plays in this epidemic, as you refer to it, and how we ultimately deal with it?
Well, I think technology has played a very big role because, number one, it has increased the pace of life. So instant gratification is the expectation. Right. Nobody wants to wait for anything anymore, and that, you know, that is the way our kids view the world as well. And the selfies and the social media, it's all about me, 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 and that has created some problems. So as parents, we just need to recognize that we're the first generation of parents to parent in a world of technology. So we have to set a really good example ourselves. If we're constantly looking at our devices, that sends a big message to our kids. We also have to remind kids that access to technology is a privilege. It's not a right. And so we need to be very clear about the ground rules for when and how technology is going to be used, and then reveal consequences in advance. And if kids can't follow the rules for technology, it lets you know that they're not mature enough to handle that. We also need to take time for training. So kids need to be trained on how to participate with social media, how to do it safely and appropriately and respectfully. All of those things are not just going to happen by osmosis. We have to take the time to teach those things to our kids.
And you also hear so much about, obviously, the side effects and negative effects to technology and cyberbullying and what can happen if a kid is online for too long, and we all know the scenarios. So, as you say, the parent obviously has to know, but that's changing all the time, too.
It is. It's tough for parents to keep up with all of the devices and the platforms and everything else, but I still say that if you have a kid who is using those social media platforms, you need to know what's going on because, you need to help them with the training so they can use it safely. The other balance that we have to strike is, of course, technology is here to stay, and it's going to be a huge part of our kids' lives, but we have to balance that with in-real-life communication. So one-on-one communication, not through a text message, but, you know, verbal communication skills, written communication skills, those are some of the things that are lacking with a lot of today's young people because they're so dependent on their technology. So just making sure they have those skills as well. They're going to be important when they go get their first job or have to deal with people in real life.
The name of the book is The Me, Me, Me Epidemic, A Step-by-Step Guide to Raising Capable, Grateful Kids in an Over-Entitled World. The book is published by Tarcher Penguin. Amy McCready, thank you very much for being with us and sharing your expertise. I appreciate it.
Joe, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Again, the title of the book, The Me, Me, Me Epidemic. Amy McCready is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.